we're gonna have ice cream afterwards. So I didn't clean the garage. I did this thing and that thing and the other thing. And I remember him coming back and he said, David, did you clean the garage? I had to be ready for my father. I didn't know when he was gonna come back. I thought I had time enough to clean the garage. But he came at a time I didn't expect him. So it must be ready for the Lord to come.
Did you get the ice cream?
I didn't get the ice cream, no. I didn't, not that occasion. I got plenty of ice cream on other occasions, but not on that occasion. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect him. Matthew 24:44. Okay, let's say it all together. This side, those in the back, this side over here in the front row, over here. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect it. Matthew 24:44. Very, very, very good. Okay, we are going to pop a balloon. We start from the front row. She's ready. How about this little one? I want to see this little one pop a balloon. Where you go? She gonna do it? No. Oh. Okay. 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 Let's say it again. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Matthew 24:44. Okay, very good. Eliana, anyone? Okay, come on. Okay, very good. Eliana, let's say it again. We've got less and less balloons. Let's say it nice and loud. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming an hour that you do not expect him. Matthew 24:44. Third row here. We got a lot of people have done it. Hey, Christian, have you done it before? Okay. Christian.
Yeah.
Let's do one balloon. Okay, very good.
Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour do not expect him.
Matthew 24:44. Let's go to the boys' row. The boys' row. Any one of the boys want to? Not that. Okay, let's go down. Let's go to that boys' row. Let's go to that boys' row.
You put your
hand right up. Yeah. Okay, good. Everybody gets a chance. Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Very, very good. Okay. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect him. Matthew 24:44. Who else? Who else are missing?
Isabel.
Where's Isabel? Okay, Isabel. Yes, bring Isabel up.
Okay, Isabel.
Come on up, Isabel.
I don't think you've done one all this week. One, two,
three. Did you do that one too?
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you, Isabel.
Okay, let's say the verse. Can we say it? This side, the back part, the front part. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect him. Matthew 24:44. So one of the reasons we do Vacation Bible School, there's a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is to come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But to be ready for when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. The Bible says some will not be ready. Some will not be ready, but he says here in this verse, it says, the Lord, the Son of Man, will come. Not might come, but he will come at a time you don't expect. Well, it's time for our classes, and Miss Faith will take some of the younger ones. And we're going to have our quiz, three-question quiz for each of the boys and the girls. And you're doing very, very good on the quiz. So we've had four lessons so far, and now we're going to, let's review on some of the. So the girls go first. This row, I don't think, Harold, the girls have missed a question all week long. So let's go with the first lesson. The first lesson for the girls on the front row. I've got to up, the game a little bit. Make it a little bit of a little. Okay. I want to make sure I mention this too. The prophets of Baal, when they heard that Elijah was coming and that he wanted to have this contest, he said to them, we want to have a contest, your God and our God. And they said, what did they say? They say, when he said that, what did they say? What did they say to them? He said, we want to have a contest, my God against your God. What did the prophets of Baal say? Did they say, yes, we want to do it? Yes, our God is the great God. What did they say to Elijah? Apparently, we need to go to the boys. I don't think it was that hard of a question, but let's go to the boys. What did the prophets of Baal say when Elijah gave this challenge to them? Yes, our God can do it, or no? Oh, here we go. Okay. What did he say? He said, sure. They said, sure. Sure, our God can do it. They said, our God is all powerful. Our God's the God of the storms. Our God's the God of the lightning. Our God can take your God. Our God's going to win. That's what they said. Our God's going to win. Okay, let's go back to the boys again. Again, the same story. The same story. Elijah comes, and see if you remember this. What did they put on the altar? What type of sacrifice? The boys don't know, we go to the girls. Does anybody know what they put? A chicken, they put a goat. What was the sacrifice they put on the altar? Got a hand up, at least one hand up. I don't know if you have that. He's going to win the whole contest for the boys by himself. Oh, they're making their dog coffee gun back there. Okay, do you know? Say it louder. Yes, a cow, a bullock. Okay, back to the girls. Let's go on to another story. The second one. The second one was the woman at the well. And Jesus comes. Now, anybody remember whose well it was? Who made the well? Well, her. She said, this is whose well? Girls know? Whose well was this? So they think. How about the boys? Oh, the boys know. Look at this, Harold. John, whose well was this? Jacob's well. Very, very, very good. Is that three questions? I think that's three questions. Okay. Very, very good. Let's take our Bibles. And we want to think about the Lord coming back again. You know, the Bible is filled with the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Jesus is coming back. He came one time. He went back to heaven. He ascended back into heaven. That was roughly 2,000 years ago. And the Bible says he's going to come again. Now, the first time he came, there were about 100 prophecies of the Old Testament about his coming. His second coming, 500 different prophecies about his coming back again. And what would happen when he would come back again? The book of Revelation is all about that. And a lot of the Old Testament, a lot of the New Testament is about that. So the Lord Jesus says he's going to come back again. But like the verse we had, we've got to be ready. And one of the verses, or one of the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, when are you going to come back? He said to him, are you going to leave us? How do we know the way to where you're going? And Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, and believe also in me, John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, or many dwelling places. If it was not so, I would have told you. I don't think Jesus would tell us a lie. I don't think Jesus would tell his disciples a lie. He said, there are many dwelling places in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, he says, I will come again. And then he says this, that where I am in heaven, you may be also. He's coming back. He's prepared a place. He's going to come back again that we might be with the Lord Jesus Christ again. Now, that's one of the most wonderful things. Now, I know this world is very nice. In fact, this part of the world, British Columbia, is very, very nice. It's much nicer than where I live. I live in Florida. People go to Florida. They go for maybe two reasons. They go to amusement parks. They go to Disney World, Disney, maybe some other amusement parks, or you go to the beach. That's all we have. We have some beaches, and we have a lot of beaches, and we have amusement parks. But heaven is far, far better.
Amen.
You know, it says in the Bible about heaven, it says that when we get into heaven, that it is going to be so great and so amazing, we're not going to even remember what earth was like. We're not going to remember the former days. Can you imagine that? Seeing something so great, you're never going to even remember where you came from and how great the place you came from. I'm not going to remember the beaches of Florida. I'm not going to remember the mountains of British Columbia. I'm not going to remember. I'm not going to even remember Vancouver. Not going to remember that because heaven is going to be so great, and the person who is in heaven is going to be so great. He says the former won't even come into your memory. And so Jesus said, I want you to be there. So we're going to think a little bit about this morning. But I'm going to tell you near the end, I want to tell you a few things about what will happen to you in heaven. Made a little mistake when I did this, put an extra N. And here's a boy looking down the street. Now, he's not actually waiting and watching for the Lord's return, but he is very intent. He's very intent and watching. He's turning. He's looking for something. Maybe the school bus, maybe his friend. He's looking. He's focused. His eyes are intent at looking at something. You know, we should be that way in our hearts. We've got to look around and do a lot of things, but we should be in our hearts looking for the Lord's return. We should desire the Lord's return. Because the Lord will come again for us. The Bible says that he's going to come through the clouds. And I think I have this verse here. Here. Oh, this is the verse I just mentioned to you. This verse. A lot of words in that verse, but I'm going to just tell you what the words say. It says, I don't want you to be ignorant, we said. I don't want you to be ignorant. Well, this is concerning those who fall asleep, he says, who have no hope. But then he says, in the middle of this verse, he says, for we say to you, by the word of the Lord, promise of the Lord, we say to you that those who are alive shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. With the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come down. He's not going to come all the way to earth. He's going to come down to the clouds. And we are going to be caught up with him in the air. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the blink of an eyeball, so fast we as Christians are going to be caught up together with him in the air. And we will ever be with the Lord. We're not coming back to this world, and this world's going to be destroyed. A new world will be made. The Lord's going to come. And when he comes, he's going to take us up to be with him. If you're young, he's going to take you up to be with him. If you're older, he's going to take you up to be with him. Everyone who knows the Lord from all over the world. Now you say, how can all the people in the world and all the people who have ever been Christians all fit into heaven? Well, heaven is going to be a wonderful, amazing, incredible place. There's plenty of room for everyone who has been a Christian and a Christian today and a Christian will be in the future. There's more than enough room. And if you think today, well, there's no room for me, there's plenty of room. Just like the ark, plenty of room for you. I want to think with you for a few moments about some people in the Bible who actually went to heaven. Some of them who actually went to heaven. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus. After he was crucified, he rose from out of the dead, and he was on earth for 40 days. He spoke to people. We learned a little bit, we'll come back to that, we learned a little bit about what kind of bodies we'll have and what it would be like to be in heaven by the Lord Jesus. But here, he's ascending back to his Father. He's leaving this earth and he's ascending, he's leaving a mountain and he's going up through the clouds back to his Father in heaven. And we learn a little bit about what kind of bodies we'll have. So he's one of the people that will go. He went up to heaven with this transformed, glorified body. But there's other people that have gone to heaven. Way back in the Old Testament, there's a man named Enoch. Enoch went to heaven. It says, Enoch walked with God. He walked with God, and they said, one day the Lord took him to be with him to go to heaven. So Enoch, from the Old Testament, was someone who walked with God. And this is Elijah. Elijah, the one who had the contest with the prophets of Baal. Elijah, it says, he did not die, but he went into heaven. I would have loved to have seen this, Harold. He went to heaven in a fiery chariot. Those who went to heaven, Enoch and Elijah, could never come back again. They never said, you know, I miss Earth so much, I want to come back to Earth. They never came back again. Now, I want to think with you a little bit about what will heaven be like. What kind of bodies will we have in heaven? You know, you won't have the same kind of bodies. You might love the body you have, it'll be a lot like the body you have now, but it won't get sick, it won't get old. Your hair won't fall out. You won't go to the doctor. You won't go to the hospital. If anybody here is a doctor, you'll be out of a job. No doctors in heaven. No dentists in heaven. No hospitals and no doctor's offices. No chiropractors. No surgeons. No one will ever get sick in heaven. You won't get old. You'll have bodies that are fit perfectly for heaven. Let me tell you a little bit of the bodies you would have. Remember the body of the Lord Jesus? The body of the Lord Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he had a resurrection glorified body. He had the wounds in his hands. He had the wounds in his hands, but he had a special resurrection body. Now, one of the things about his body, there was a time where all the disciples were in a room. Look at a room over here. Room. With doors on, and the doors were locked because they were afraid that maybe the Romans would come or the Jewish people would come and take them to prison. So it was a locked door. All the disciples were in that room without opening the door. No one opened the door. Without opening the door, Jesus comes and appears in the midst. Did he just go through the wall? He never opened the door. But Jesus was able to go right in their midst, right in front of them. It'd be if Harold's in their room, the door is locked, and I just appear in that room. That's the ability that the Lord Jesus Christ had. And you know, you'll have an ability like that. Now listen to this verse from the Bible. This verse is from, you have your Bible, you can turn to it. Good for you to see it. It's in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. When we think about the body of the Lord Jesus, we're going to have a body just like his. Just like his resurrection body, which will never die, which was able to eat food, which was able to walk, do a lot of things. Looked very much like his body, but was so different. That's what it says in Galatians 3, and verse 20 and 21. Here's what it says. It says, our citizenship is in heaven. Our real home is in heaven, from which we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are looking. That boy was looking down the street. We are looking in our hearts for a Savior who will come. But then it says this, verse 21. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly bodies. These bodies we have, the Bible calls them lowly bodies. Bodies that get old, bodies that get sick. And eventually, if you live long enough, well, then an accident takes place, a body will die, be buried in the ground. But it says these bodies are not like that. Look what it says. It says we'll change our lowly bodies to be fashioned like his glorious, the Lord Jesus Christ's glorious body, according to the working in which he will subdue all things to himself. The Lord will give us a body like the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He won't die, he won't get sick. He'll be able to do many wonderful things. We don't even know all the wonderful things that these new bodies will have. But we know when the Lord comes, in the twinkling of an eye, a blink of the eye, he's going to transform these bodies. Those who are resurrected from out of the grave, they'll have transformed bodies. We who are alive will have transformed bodies. We'll go to heaven. And one of the great things about going to heaven is that we will be reunited with other believers who have gone to heaven before us. I don't know if you have a grandfather or a mother or a father or a sister or a brother who was a Christian. You'll be able to meet them in heaven. You'll be able to talk to them in heaven. You'll be able to have conversations with them, do things together in heaven. I have grandparents who've been Christians. I'll meet those grandparents. I have a mother and father who have passed away. I'll meet my mother and father in heaven. I have a sister who's passed away. I'll meet a sister in heaven. There'll be people in heaven from every, it says in the Bible in Revelation, from every tribe, people, tongue, and nation. We'll meet loved ones in heaven. And I think this, I'm not sure 100%, but I think that we'll know people in heaven even though we never met them in our lives. We'll know people in heaven even though we never saw them, met them, or even saw a picture of them. But we'll know who they are. How do we know that? Well, you know, there's a passage in the Bible where the disciples are there. And Moses and Elijah come and they talk with the Lord Jesus. Now, Peter and other disciples, they never knew what Moses and Elijah looked like. They never had a picture of them. They had no idea what they looked like. They knew of them. They knew about them. But when they come, you know what they say? They say, can we make small dwelling places for Moses and Elijah? How did they know that? How did they know who they were? Somehow God gave them the ability to know people they had never seen before. I think it's a fantastic thing. Be able to see people we know are Christians. We know are Christians. No, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we never saw them before. There was a wonderful preacher. Maybe Harold has met him. I've never met him, but I've heard him speak. His name is Harold Wildish. Harold Wildish was a British preacher, and he died some years ago. But he would tell the story about heaven. You know, in the Bible, there's a writer named Zephaniah. He's a one chapter book in the Old Testament. So Harold Wildish, not this Harold, but another Harold, Harold Wildish, he tells a story. He says, I imagine myself skipping through the fields of heaven. And as I skip through the, enjoying all that heaven is, forgetting all about earth below, way to the distance on this path as I skip through this field, this meadow in heaven, I see way in the distance, I see someone coming towards me. And he gets closer and closer to me. And we stop and we greet each other. And we hug each other and we say, he says to me, when you are down in the regions below, how are you called? This is what Zephaniah says to Harold Wildish. He says, my name is Harold. Oh, that's what Harold said. My name is Harold. And he says, what is your name? How were you called when you were down to the regions below? He said, I am Zephaniah, the Old Testament prophet, and written a book in the Old Testament. So Harold Wildish says this, I'm afraid of the next question he asks. He's going to ask. The next question he's going to ask me, he's going to say, Harold Wilder, did you read my book? Did you read my book? So he says, I always make sure I read Zephaniah and Haggai and the small Old Testament prophets. I try to read all through the Bible, in fact, because if I meet anybody from the Bible, we're going to meet all kinds of figures from the Bible, and we're going to know a little bit who they are. But then he's going to ask him, he thinks to himself, Harold Wilder said, I think he's going to ask me another question. I'm afraid of that question, too. And he said, this question that he's going to ask is this. Did you read my book? I say, yes, I read your book. And then he's going to ask me this. What did you get out of it? So I make sure I study the book and always have something to get out of the book. We'll be in heaven. We'll meet glorious people in heaven. We will be reunited with believers. We will have new bodies. The Lord will come unexpectedly. We will live forever in heaven. There's no sickness. There's no death. It's a time that we will forget all about this former world. We will never remember. And you will have the most fantastic, and I will have the most fantastic experience of our lives. We look forward to that day. There's a day, there's a reason why the Lord says, I go to prepare a place. Because it is the best place we could ever be in. But not everybody is going to be in heaven. Not everybody in this room probably will be in heaven. There may be some who are in this room who will not be in heaven because they have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can get to heaven is to have your sins forgiven. I knew that from a little boy. Only way I can get to heaven is to be a child of God, is to have the Lord forgive my sins. I said yesterday to some people, sometimes we sit on the fence. There's a man that I knew, he had a friend who heard about the gospel for 30 years. He went to meetings like this for 30 years, and he never trusted and believed and became a Christian. And last year, he said to his friend, he said, your rear end must hurt. It must really have a sore rear end because you've been sitting on the fence for 30 years. You've been sitting in meetings with Bibles in your hand, hearing the gospel for 30 years. How about you? How long have you heard the gospel? How long have you come to 16th Avenue? How long have you even had Bibles in your home? Harold talked about that. But you're sitting on the fence. You're not taking a step. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing? This was what I thought in my life. What a terrible thing it would be for someone to be so close to being a Christian. But you sat on the fence and you never came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing worse than that. I think of this. Remember Jesus and the thief on the cross? Two thieves on the cross, one on one side, one on the other, two thieves. One was so close to Jesus, had his friend come to faith and salvation in the Lord Jesus. The other one, when he was dying, he was very, very close. He could have done what his friend did. So close. We have Bibles. We go to meetings. We go to DVBS. We're so close. For me, in my home, I had a number of Bibles. In fact, in my room, I had a hymn book. I had Christian magazines in my house, in my room. But for many, many years, I sat on the fence, and I didn't trust Christ. I hope you're not that way. I hope you're not sitting on the fence. I hope you've taken the step. Now, remember the passage that we read. I want to close it with you again. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in. You've got to take a step. You can't stay where you're at. You can't just hear. You just can't have Bibles. You just can't go to VBS. You've got to be a real Christian. You've got to be someone who follows. You've got to be someone who says yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then say that he is God and you want to follow him. So we're going to close in prayer. This is the last day of DVBS here. And if you've never trusted Christ and you want to be a Christian, you want to say yes to the Lord Jesus, you want to take that step, I want you to come to one of the adults. I want you to go to Jeet, or you can go to Harold, or go to Barbara, or someone here, or myself. Come and say, today I want to take that step for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to enter that door of salvation. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died for me. I want to take that step. Our God and Father, we thank you for this time this morning. And Father, I pray for each person here. It's a beautiful thing to see all these children, all these young people, children upstairs, adults, coming to hear the word of God. They could go anywhere, Father. They could be shopping, they could go, but they made time to come here. And Father, is there someone here, we pray you would make it clear to their hearts, speak deeply and thoroughly and loudly to their hearts to say, yes, I want to be a Christian. I want my sins forgiven. I want to stop waiting. I want to take that step. And so, Father, we pray that might happen today. So we pray this and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Very good. Thank you, David. We're happy that all are here. I think about heaven. One of the things that I think about heaven, we used to sing it years ago, a little hymn that says about heaven, happy reunions on streets of gold. What would happen if there were a reunion up in heaven 200 years from now? And all the DVBS people from 16th Avenue got together in heaven just for a little reunion. Would you be there? What a tragedy. Not everybody who talks about heaven is going to be there. You have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you've got to live so that it's obvious that you've accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So thank you. And Trevor, you go ahead now, please, and you speak to us. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Hello from Morning Star Bible Camp. We're here to do another gospel illusion to help you understand. Today, I have three ropes, and Claire is going to show you that they're real ropes. They're not stretchy ropes. They're not magic ropes. They're real ropes. And you might not believe, but that's what she's doing. Now we have these three ropes, and you can see a difference between the ropes. What do you think the difference is? The difference is this one's a long one, this one's a short one, and this one's an in-between one. Now these ropes represent different kinds of people. Yesterday, we were reading the story here at Morning Star Bible Camp about a man named a Pharisee and another man named a tax collector. And the Pharisee thought he was so good that he was automatically going to heaven. His list of bad things that he had done wasn't very long. And the other extreme was the tax collector. He thought he had done so many bad things, he wasn't going to get to heaven. Well, they both prayed. And the Pharisee, the religious man, he prayed and he said, God, thank you that I'm not an extortioner, that I'm not unjust, that I'm not an adulterer. And whew, thank God, I'm not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tithe of all my possessions. I'm really religious. That's why I'm going to heaven, he said. And the other man, he stood afar off in the distance. And he didn't even lift his eyes towards heaven. He felt so ashamed of his sin. And he just put himself before God and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you know what, beloved? That's the one of the most wonderful things about God is you can be honest with God. You can say, you know what, God? I'm the sinner that Jesus died for. Because we've been learning a verse at camp this week that says there are no little sinners, there are no medium sinners, there are no big sinners. Because in the Bible, in Romans 3, chapter 23, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all means everyone. In God's sight, there is no difference. We're all the same. So it doesn't matter if you think you're a medium sinner or a big sinner or a little sinner. There is no difference between any of us to God. You can't be a really religious people or a really bad person. That doesn't help you get to heaven or not get to heaven. What helps you to get to heaven is trusting that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on Calvary's cross to pay the price for your sin. And you accept that free gift from God. Why? Because Jesus not only died for our sins, he rose again from the dead on the third day, proving that he conquered sin and death to offer you and I eternal life, to be with him in heaven, to be at that reunion on the street of gold forever and ever. We shall be with the Lord. You trust in the Lord Jesus, you'll be at that great reunion one day. The Lord bless you and keep you. Bye for now.
Sometimes I say, I'm going to pay very close attention and I'm going to know how he does it. I haven't figured it out. Okay. And if God takes you to heaven, you might not know how you're going to get there. But if you don't get there, you're going to say, oh, I could have gone. I should have gone. Life would have been, I could be in heaven, forgiven forever, instead of in this terrible place of punishment forever. All right, we're happy that we're finished. We're going to pray, then we're going to have our snack. Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful for the fact that the way to heaven is easy. We don't have to do much. We don't have to pay much. We don't have to be big and great. All we have to do is believe and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Would you please come and save me and give me the life that I should have? Keep me from sin. Cause me to walk in your ways. Lord, I want to go to your heaven. Please take me, and the Lord will do that. So we're thankful. Now, Lord, we're going to have a little snack outside. Thanks for those who prepared it for us, and thanks for the food. And then, Lord, after that, we're going to have our activities. You bless us there. And then after our picture, Lord, we're going to have lunch. We're going to thank you for the lunch ahead of time. We'll thank you later, but thankful. Lord, we're going to have a good lunch soon. So we give thanks now and give you blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.